Hello, and welcome to Under New Management, the podcast that examines new and notable management research and how this research can enhance your effectiveness as a leader in your organization. I'm Mike Johnson from the Foster School of Business at the University of Washington in Seattle. In this episode, I talk with Todd Rogers, the Executive Director of the Analyst Institute in Washington, D.C. Todd recently received his PhD from the Harvard Business School, and while he was there, he conducted research with Professor Max Bazerman on something they call the future lock-in effect. Their paper describing this effect is in press at the journal Organizational Behavior and Human Decision Processes. Todd Rogers, welcome to Under New Management.
Good to be here, Mike.
Well, Todd, your paper examines the concept of future lock-in. Can you explain what that means?
Sure, Mike. Future lock-in begins with the idea that people often experience tension when making decisions. Sometimes they know they should do something, but they don't want to. They should save more money, but they don't want to. They shouldn't eat the chocolate cake, but they do want to. They should reduce their fossil fuel consumption, but it would be costly. So beginning with that tension, which we call want-should conflict, we went about trying to figure out how we can assist people in selecting should choices. And so what this paper focuses on is how timed implementation of a choice increases or affects support for should choices. So specifically, a choice is going to be implemented either as soon as possible or in the distant future, and it's going to be decided upon now. What we find is that when people feel conflict about a choice, if it's going to be decided upon now, they're more likely to support it if it's going to be implemented in the future. And so we call that future lock-in.
Okay, well, let's back up a minute to talk more about this should and want self. Now, this is originally based on the work of Thomas Schelling, right?
Yeah, so Schelling and many others, and even before him, back to Odysseus, have talked about this tension people feel. And Schelling has a model of multiple selves. And we work from a model of a want self and a should self, but Schelling posits several different selves. The want self is very myopic, almost entirely focused on present gains, and the should self is more future-oriented.
And so the idea of future lock-in is that the should self is more likely to come about when we're thinking about the future, and the want self is more likely to come about when we're thinking about, you know, the near future or the present?
Yes, and so our model is that at all times in all decisions, these two selves weigh in. And by structuring a choice, which always is made, a decision is made in the present, when structuring it so that it's implemented in the future, we find that people think about the choice differently. So the choice is 50-cent tax on gas, which is one of the policies that we looked at. Mm-hmm. People report that they feel they know that they should support it, but they don't particularly want to. So in one condition, the gas tax is going to be voted on next week and implemented as soon as possible. And in the other condition, it's going to be voted on next week, but implemented in 2 years. What we find is that when it's going to be implemented in 2 years, people are much more supportive of the policy, and we find that that support comes from construing the policy differently. They think about it in its abstract terms. They construe it in its more abstract essence, whereas when it's going to be implemented soon, they think about it in its more concrete terms, which in this case, in a gas tax, the concrete terms is that it costs me 50 cents more each time I fill up a gallon of gas.
Okay, and in the paper, you deal with this idea of construal level theory. So can you just explain that a little more, this abstract versus concrete kind of thinking?
Sure. In psychological research, especially over the last decade, there's been interest in how temporal distance from an event, from a person, from an action, from a choice, changes the way we think about it. What they found is that the further you are from some object, the more abstractly you think about it. Hmm. So, again, this gas tax policy, the further you are from when that policy will be implemented, the more abstractly, in its essence, what is the high-level purpose of this policy? Whereas the closer it is, the more you're thinking about when it happens, when I'm doing it, what are the concrete, specific, detail-oriented consequences of it. And for these should choices, we find that they are specifically organized such that the abstract construal is preferable.
Well, Todd, can you tell us about the details of the studies you did? Now, you did four different experiments to test this future lock-in phenomenon. So can you talk about those a bit?
Sure, Mike. There were four experiments, as you said, and there's a few other ones that didn't make it into this paper, which I'd be happy to talk about later. In the first study, we asked participants, if they were to receive $5 that day, how much money would be required to be donated to the United Way for them to forego that $5? And then in the other condition, we asked participants who were to receive $5 a week from then, how much money would they require be donated to the United Way in order for them to forego their $5? And so what we expected, of course, was that they would require more than $5, because if it was less than $5, they could just do it themselves. So what we found is that those who were to receive $5 that day required far more money be donated to the United Way than those who were to receive $5 in a week. Specifically, those who were to receive $5 that day required $88 be donated to the United Way in order for them to forego their $5. Whereas those who were to receive the $5 in a week required between $10 and $11 to be donated to the United Way to forego their $5. The effect size was enormous, and it amazed us. And this was actually the original study that prompted us down this line. So in the second study, we were trying to broaden the effect and look at public policies of choices that are of social relevance, things like over-harvesting of the ocean's fisheries, over-harvesting of the forests for timber, the price of fossil fuel, to a tax on gas, dieting and exercise plans. There's a whole variety of them. And what we found across these policies, when people felt this internal conflict, when they felt like they should support it but they didn't want to, and they were much more supportive of the policies when they were to be implemented in the distant future than when they were to be implemented in the near future. So specifically, for example, one of the questions was, there would be a tax on gas, it would be implemented now or be implemented in the distant future. And participants reported that they felt conflict about it because they knew that they should support it, because everyone knows that we should be reducing fossil fuel consumption. But when it was to happen immediately, they were much less supportive. So in some way, distant implementation liberated them to support what they felt they should support. In an additional study that we ran, which didn't make it into the paper, we presented a scenario. We said, you are asked by your supervisor or the board of your company to make a recommendation regarding the company moving to a new region of the country. So it's a cheaper region, it's more profitable for the company, and they want to know whether you think they should do it. Mm-hmm. And in one condition, people were asked to make this recommendation for the move would take place within the next few months, and in the other condition, the move would take place in a few years. Mm-hmm. And we found, consistent with those other studies that we've talked about, that support was far greater when it was to be implemented in 4 years. A critical read of these studies shows that, well, so it's different. When it's implemented in 4 years, you can plan for it.
Right.
You can start looking for another job. You can start saving.
Right.
Whereas when it's implemented soon, you don't have that ability. And that's true. That's one nice thing about future lock-ins. So as we've talked about this gas tax, a future implemented gas tax means that you can start planning for its implementation. You can amortize your current vehicle that is not particularly fuel efficient. You can make sure that your investments, by the time that the law or the tax comes due, sort of reflect the new environment. Whereas when they're implemented immediately, you don't have that luxury. So that's completely consistent. It's a non-psychological explanation for it, and that's why the construal explanation is important, at least from a psychological angle.
Okay, well, Todd, this is interesting research, but how can organizations apply it?
That's a good question, and it's something that we were very motivated to address, because as you can tell from all of these choices, these are policies and choices that we care about. We as researchers, we as members of society and citizens, and as managers. So you asked about managerial implications, and there are several. One is the strategic communications, or when speaking with employees and stakeholders future lock-in can be useful because we often are talking about should choices, choices that people know they should support but don't particularly want to. Additionally, there are other real interests that managers have regarding the people they work with. So, for example, increasing savings is a great example where managers care that their employees are saving enough money. And future lock-in captures one mechanism or describes one mechanism that can increase employee savings, which is in the interest of the firm.
So contributions to a 401k that people could commit some of their future earnings to their 401k, they'd be more likely to do that if they're implementing that in the future rather than taking away some of their take-home pay immediately?
Yes, actually, there's some great research by Thaler and Benarzi on this program that they developed called Save More Tomorrow. In the Save More Tomorrow program, there are several principles that they are leveraging, several psychological principles. One of them appears to be future lock-in.
Okay, great. Do you have any other examples of how organizations can apply your research?
Well, one other interest that an organization has is in being a good citizen within its community of stakeholders.
Corporate social responsibility.
Sure, corporate social responsibility. So a lot of these corporate social responsibility behaviors, donation to local organizations or volunteering, involve should choices. And so to the extent that an organization wants to facilitate this kind of CSR, corporate socially responsible behavior, they can structure them in ways that incorporate this future lock-in effect.
So employees will be more likely to donate to charitable organizations if they're donating some of their future income versus their present income.
Yes. Not surprisingly, given how powerful and I think intriguing this type of effect is, a recent line of research that other researchers have been looking at is this donate more tomorrow, looking at exactly the same save more tomorrow structure, but instead of putting in the savings plan, it's donating future money.
So Todd, what's the bottom line for managers?
Well, the bottom line is that when managers are developing policies that they expect others will feel conflict about, we call these should choices, they should, to the extent possible, emphasize and build into these policies future implementation rather than emphasizing and building in immediate or soon implementation, because what you do is you end up liberating decision makers to choose what they feel they should choose rather than submitting to what we might call the one self.
Well, we've been talking with Todd Rogers from the Analyst Institute. Todd, thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks. It was a pleasure being here.
Thank you for downloading Under New Management, a podcast of the Organizational Behavior Division of the Academy of Management. The OB division has over 5,000 members dedicated to the science and practice of organizational behavior. For more information about the OB division, visit www.obweb.org. For more information about the Academy of Management and its over 17,000 members worldwide, visit www.aomonline.org. Computer support for this podcast is provided by Vu Tran.